So we're going to start with our motivation prayer before we get into 101 or 1001 questions. So if you have the gold prayer book with you, the prayer to generate bodhicitta, the aspirational motivation, the one that Geshe Zopa referred to a lot, and also His Holiness the Dalai Lama. So page 229, to quickly and directly set our motivation with the wish to free all beings, I shall always go for refuge to Buddha, Dharma and Sangha until I reach full enlightenment. Inspired by wisdom and compassion, today in the Buddha's presence, I generate the mind of full awakening for the benefit of all sentient beings. As long as space remains, as long as sentient beings remain, until then, may I too remain and dispel the miseries of the world. Okay, so we've had two of these practice sessions already, and we've got two more, like today and next week. Now, armed with the extraordinarily detailed commentary from Geshe Zopa. So we'll see how we go today and next week, and if necessary, we've got one extra Sunday up our sleeve that we can put on. So the teachings were mind-blowing and so detailed, and 2 hours, 20 minutes non-stop, and one person emailed me. He was you, Anne, who said, you know, it was getting really, really intense. And then when Geshe-la got the giggles and joked about being crazy, it just lifted all the tension. So it really put me in mind of a year or so ago, me and Laura travelled all the way to Perth, you know, 2,500 kilometres for 2 days of SPC training with Geshe Zopa. And it was just like that. It was just non-stop from morning to evening, and it was worth every kilometre and then every kilometre all the way back, as you could tell, just amazingly detailed. So the commentary on how to do the practice from woe to go, and also what Geshe-la shared with us was the activities. So you have the blessings of body, speech and mind, and then activities. So that's a Kriya Tantra kind of practice to do, of how to do these special action mantras and the activities. But I think what we'll do is focus on those next week, and this week we'll just kind of focus on the beginning parts of who can do the practice, the three categories of person, and how we can visualize when we're doing the practice. And then just the very simple, if we have time, consecration of just a bowl of water with the twigs. And then next week we can do more elaborate with the vase and the three action mantras. So I know many of you took notes, and I took 8 pages of typos. I'm not a touch typist, I'm a typo typist. And so kind of going back over my notes and trying to get some order into them. And I know quite a few of you took quite extensive notes as well. And I've been in touch with Steph, and she's preparing a transcript that will still keep the wonderful conversational tone of Geshe Zopa. And we're going to do a little bit of work on it to put some nice headings and perhaps just rearrange the order a little bit, and then be able to share that transcript with everybody. So I'd ask, if you do have notes, that you don't share them with anyone yet, because we've got to make sure that the information that we have is 100% correct in kind of respect for Geshe-la, in respect for the practice and keeping secrecy. So please tidy up your notes as best as you can, and as you are, you'll probably start having lots of questions. I already do. Collate those questions, and we'll be able to check them with Geshe-la. And then Steph has promised me by the end of the week she'll have the transcript done, and then it's kind of like relay. Then it's over to me, and I'll put in all the headings and kind of rearrange the order a little bit, and then it'll be over to Geshe-la to check everything and check all the mantras. So the mantras, some of you might have recognized them from other practices that we've done here. The Shing Ting Kuru Soha, if you've been to any of our all-night Tara Pujas, you will know that mantra. So it's the Dispelling Hindrances mantra. Also, if you've done Yungnaes, then you would have recognized the long mantra, or at least the beginning of the long mantra of Singanada. And so if we get a chance today to consecrate the water, we'll be able to use that. And I'm fairly confident that I wrote down that mantra correctly, so that at least we can get that started. There is, yes, Alison, there is Chenrezig practice for the next coming two Wednesdays, not at 2, at 7, and it's not going to be Singanada, it's going to be the Chenrezig Sadhana, because it's to do with the developing bodhicitta unit of discovering Buddhism. So we may do a little bit of Singanada practice, but it's mostly Thousand Arm Chenrezig, which is what this Singanada practice was given as a subsequent permission from that Thousand Arm Chenrezig initiation. That was actually the big one. So that we get a chance to do the Thousand Arm Chenrezig practice, that'll be on the coming two Wednesday nights, but at 7 p.m. So everyone's welcome to that one, of course. Okay, so Geshe-la started with that incredible story of the two mates roaming around on lions. Oh my gosh, how I wished I was there. I almost felt I was there to be in a town where two bodhisattvas roam around on their snow lions of various colours. How extraordinary. And how, you know, bodhisattvas have besties as well, you know, the two really, really good friends. And how bodhisattvas also feel grief and rage and even, you know, Singanada Chenrezig was upset when his friend passed away. And it made me think, you know, all those years ago when Lama Yeshe passed away in 1984, and even Lama Zopa Rinpoche was upset, even though, you know, there's that total understanding of Dharmakaya and Sambhogakaya and Nimanakaya. Nevertheless, you know, Rinpoche demonstrated, we went through the emotions of grief to demonstrate, you know, this profound emotion that we have. And Chenrezig Singanada as well. I also thought it was quite extraordinary that that the Manjushri Bodhisattva died of self-harm, you know, of having that staff and then, or the sword, and then accidentally poking himself. And it occurred to me, it's like when we have any of those afflictive emotions like anger or rage, how they are all acts of self-harm. But of course, because when bodhisattvas do things, they do them totally differently, because they're motivated by this amazing attitude that everything that happens, good or bad, pleasant or unpleasant, is for the ultimate benefit of others. Then even really traumatic experiences like that turn into extraordinary benefits for sentient beings. So we get this practice. We get this amazing healing practice. So I'm sure there'll be quite a lot more of the detail of the story when we have the commentary from Geshe Zopa. But one of the things that Geshe-la said, there are three things that need to come together to make healing powerful, and to do with this practice in particular, because it's a Kriya Yoga practice or a lower Tantra practice. So the three things that we need for healing to be powerful: the substance, mantra, and concentration. So the substances, because Kriya Tantra is often focused on the body, it's important to have the physical things there. Whether they're elaborate or not, Geshe-la said that was okay, but to have something there, it's not just all in the mind. So if you have a Vajra and Bell, then the pure water in a crystal bowl, which I have here, if you can see, or an action vase with the three knotted or five knotted kata, which is here, with the peacock feather and the kusha grass. So either one. A mala of crystal. He said best to make it saffron water. I forgot to do that today. use pure water. And if you don't have a feather, then the branch of a non-poisonous tree. So we purposefully at Lungri Tampa Centre planted a lemon myrtle because they have really beautiful leaves. They smell fantastic and clean, and they're medicinal and not poisonous. So and quite bushy, and so you can very easily chop off the branches whenever you're doing Yung Days and Sinkanada practice. So a stem branch like that. And crystal mala if you can. And then with the mantra, either the long version or the short version, so several times Geshe-la said to at least recite the long mantra three times and then the short mantra 21 times for the various things to do. And then the third one, concentration, or what's happening in the mind, the visualization and the light rays and the experience of the nectar. So if we have those three together, then healing becomes very powerful. And I'd say there's also numerous studies about, in Western medicine, about, for instance, the placebo effect, that if you believe something is going to work, then it actually works sometimes a percentage higher than even the pills that work. So if you have both, if you have the substance and you have the devotion, in this one, if you have the actual actions that you go through so that your nervous system goes through an experience, and nervous system doesn't matter if something's true or not, you still go through the experience. So that's really crucial. And then in the mind, focusing the mind is also part of that, the belief or the devotion, but it's really based in the wisdom of emptiness. And then the power of the mantra, which is a subtle enlightened form of Chenrezig Singhanada. So we have all those three together, then it's just, incredibly powerful. Now, any questions about that before we go on to the three categories of person that can do this practice? I'll just keep my eye on it then. So for the three categories of person that can do the practice, you have to figure out which of these categories of person you are. So those of you who have highest Yoga Tantra initiation and then took the Singhanada subsequent permission, that's one category. Then there is those without highest Yoga Tantra initiations, but who took the Singhanada permission. And then there's those with no initiation. So do we have anyone here, just put into the chat, do we have anyone here that has both Singhanada and highest Yoga Tantra, HYT? One over here, the analog chat. Otherwise known as a human. bit of a lasser. And yes, okay, so we have a few, good. And then those with no highest yoga tantra initiation but who have done the Singhanara. Okay, one, two. Okay, and then, yes, Thousand Arm Shinrezig is lower tantra. That's right. So I'm going to clarify with Geshe Zopa how come you need the highest yoga tantra initiation, but this practice may actually be a subsequent permission from a highest yoga tantra series of initiations, but because it was requested and because of the times it was given in relation to this one. So I'll find out why. Okay, so Maria, yeah, if you've done the Thousand Arm Shinrezig initiation with His Holiness just recently and then Singhanara, then you're that second category. And then if there's anyone that has not done the initiation at all, then that's the third category. And so then it is necessary still to have refuge in Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. And you visualize Singhanara on top of your crown. And as with all of them, but it, very specifically with this category of person, you do the practice in relation to the four opponent powers. The purification happens in relation to the four opponent powers. And so I think from this third category of person, then it means that if you don't want to commit to the bodhisattva attitude or have the initiation, then the minimum is still to have your refuge as Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. So you still kind of need to be a Buddhist to be able to do the practice. Though I think also His Holiness said, you know, for everybody to do this practice, so then at the very minimum to have respect for Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. So if you're a lapsed HYT, you're in the first category because you can't go backwards. You can't kind of learn to drive and get your license and then, yeah, your license might lapse, but you still know how to drive and you still, when you're driving, have all those responsibilities. So even if you're a lapsed HYT, you're still in that first category. And then there's all of there is, you know, great importance in purifying by offering tzog and then retaking your vows whenever possible. But it's okay. I've also fallen off the wagon. So, you know, I was brave enough to fess up to Lama Zopa Rinpoche about that. Took me a long time. And so he said, if you have fallen off the wagon with your commitments, really the most important thing is to offer tzog on tzog days and to, you know, regenerate your vows. And then when you can, to retake that initiation. Okay, so if you've noted which category of person you are, then the visualization when you do the practice slightly changes. So yes, for those with no initiation at all, then with, you know, great faith and confidence in Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, Singhanara on the crown of your head and incorporating the four opponent powers, which is, you know, a practice for everybody, whether you're religious or not. Reliance on Buddha, Dharma and Sangha and Singhanara, regret, the antidote, we wanted healing and purification, and the fulfillment, you're purified and you commit not to do those negativities again because they cause so much pain. Those with no highest yoga tantra initiation, you have Singhanara arise in front, so on the altar, and Singhanatha on your crown. So facing the same way as you. And the light rays, you can do the practice to heal oneself and to heal others. Healing all father, mother, sentient beings. And so what happens, the light rays the light rays flow to you and reach out to others, bring about the cleansing from all the different specific karmic results. So the front generation heals you, and then also all the father, mother, sentient beings. And so there was quite a beautiful visualization of having all the women on the left, all the men on the right, all the enemies in front, or the loved ones behind, the strangers all around. And the light from the front generation, the light rays and the nectar falls down through your crown, purifying all the negativities of the body, of the speech, of the mind committed through all of our non-virtuous actions, and purifying all the suffering and all the karmic results. So that's fairly simple. Any questions about that? So I think also with that one where you have not had high Sirgatantra, only Singhanatha, then the light comes from front generation Singhanatha through you, but also as you're purified, you can radiate light. Because through the light rays and nectar, you reach out to others. So there's a little dual kind of thing happening there. You're almost like the intermediary that... There's front generation Singhanatha, and the light comes because you're doing this practice, and then it can flow to all the sentient beings. So you heal yourself and you heal all others. Then for those of you with Highest Yoga Tantra initiation plus the Singhanatha permission, you can do the practice in relation to both front generation and self generation. Of course, all of that arises through the emptiness wisdom. So what that means is that we can invite the front generation Singhanatha and either have a picture, or we can make a torma, the bull door, for those of you who've made tormas here before. And so we think that that's actually Singhanatha there. And then also for the self generation, you arise, you dissolve everything into emptiness, and out of the empty comes an eight-petaled lotus. On that, a moon disc. On that, a seed syllable tree, not just writing, but in the nature of light energy. And from that, you miraculously arise and sit as Singhanatha, according to the entire description. So that's the process for the arising of both the front generation and the self generation Singhanatha. So, you know, you purify all your ordinary aggregates and identity into emptiness. From that, the eight-petaled lotus, then the moon disc, then the syllable hri, and then miraculously you become Singanatha. And then Geshe-la said, if you have trouble seeing all the details, then just take a bird's eye view, see the wholeness, and from there engage in the practice of healing. Then it depends how elaborate you want to get with setting up the altar. So to have an image or a tanka or a torma. And then there were three sets of offerings, one to the front generation. And then if you're doing self-generation, one to the self-generation as well. If you're not doing self-generation, then you don't need that. And the third lot of offerings to the vase or the beautiful crystal bowl of nectar. And then Geshe-la also said, if you're to really help with who we're healing, it'd be great to have like a globe of the world. That really inspired me. I want to go out and get a globe of the world now. And we had one, but Lungri Thapa Center sponsored, you can get those globes of the world that are made out of seven precious stones, all different, and they're just spectacular. They're kind of inlaid. And the oceans are lapis lazuli. And so Lungri Thapa Center sponsored the globe of the world that went into the stupa at Karuna Hospice. That was really exciting. So I think we're going to have to get another globe of the world now. So that was one thing that we could have, because when we're doing the activity, the action mantras, then it's good to have a physical thing that represents what's actually going on. And then to have photos or names of the people that you're purifying. So the names of anyone who's recently passed away or photographs of anybody, and actually to have them there. And I remember in another practice that Geshe-la was talking about, you could write the names out in gold, you know, a beautiful parchment, and write the name out in gold really nicely and have them there all really kind of respectfully there arranged on the table as well. So is there any other questions or anything about the implements, what goes on the altar? The last comment in the chat was all good, which is good, but I'm sure there's questions. So the offerings, there are three sets of offerings. So the offerings are the tantric offerings, which is the seven bowls, the two waters, not so good at counting, flowers, incense, light, perfume, food, and then the bell music. And they go from the deity's right to left. Yep. So then for the self generation, it would be from your right to left. For the front generation, it's from the front generation's right to left. So one row of offering bowls of those tantric offerings for the front generation. Then if you're the category of person that's had Highest Yoga Tantra, you also have a set for the self generation. If you don't have Highest Yoga Tantra, you don't need that set. And then a row of bowls also for the vase or the bowl, those same tantric offerings, the seven bowls. With the practice, we're going to do the text that came from FPMT with various additions, and we'll probably get a extended dance mix text from Geshe Zopa once the transcript is finished. If you only have one set of offerings, offering bowls, that's all right. I was thinking, you know, like you could have the traditional tantric offerings in a row, and then you can get these beautiful little crystal bowls. They're, you know, about that big, and they would be really lovely, you know, little crystal bowls to have as an offering set in front of the vase. But you can also get really cute little drinking little teacups. I know in some of the Persian shops they have little white teacups with gold rims. You know, they come in sets of 12, which is very handy. So something like that could be quite nice for the offerings for the vase. If all else fails, just get like in the supermarket, you can get plastic shot glasses and they're all rainbow colours and they'll do fine as well. So the offering bowls go from right to left from the perspective of whoever you're offering to. So for front generation, it goes from the front generation's right to left. For self-generation, it goes from the self-generation's right to left. For the vase, it goes from the vase's right to left. So often in the sadhanas, it'll say right to left, and it always means from the point of view of the deity. It'll say the right hand, and you're looking at you going, there's something wrong here, but it's the deity's right hand. It's always from the point of view of the deity. So if you just remember that, it'll head off a lot of confusion at the pass. Okay, so then I thought we'd have a go at consecrating, just having a little bit of a go going slowly, and then we can do the sadhana not too long. So with consecrating, here's a little something I prepared earlier. Try not to electrocute myself with all the lights. So the bowl, beautiful crystal bowl, the twig, so it just kind of sits in there. I can't get it to sit up any nicer. It kind of flips out. But I think just having it anywhere, as long as it looks nice to me. And we probably should do the beginning motivation so that everything that we're doing is with this from wisdom and emptiness and from bodhicitta. So we'll just kind of in a very relaxed fashion go through the sadhana and then do the simple version, the consecrating of the bowl and how to do the sprinkling of the water, the really simple version. So if you have the sadhana from last week, the one that to download from FPMT, Arya Avalokiteshvara Singhanada, Exalted Lion's Roar. Avalokiteshvara, who dispels all disease. So Lion's Roar Avalokiteshvara is kind of like the shorthand for it. And starting by taking refuge and generating bodhicitta. So remembering that the reason we're taking refuge is primarily for others, that like Geshe-la said, we've got our own suffering, but our own suffering wakes us up to the fact that everybody else is suffering and has been for ages and we didn't even notice. And we have this responsibility to help purify not just ourselves but others, because we have this incredible opportunity. It's right here in our hands. So it's like we have this, really have this universal responsibility to do it, to help others become free from suffering. So I think that we're taking refuge for all the sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. So as Geshe-la said, regenerating the Bodhisattva aspirational attitude. And we can use the Bodhisattva prayer that we said on page 229. We can do other prayers like the Four Immeasurables and the Special Bodhicitta. So let's read the Four Immeasurables together. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. And then the special generation of bodhicitta. In particular, in order to benefit all my mother sentient beings quickly and more quickly, I must achieve the precious state of perfect and complete Buddhahood. Therefore, I'm going to undertake the practice of Avalokiteshvara Singhanatha. So bringing to mind all the mother sentient beings, and in particular, anyone that you wish to purify for, see them all individually, all the names or the photos. The quickly and more quickly is the kind of oblique mention of Tantra and Highest Yoga Tantra by doing this really lightning fast practice, the special bodhicitta. Now, generally, when you go to bless the offerings, you don't do an extensive self-generation, you just do an instantaneous generation. And so if you've had the Singhanatha and Highest Yoga Tantra, then you do you instantaneously arise as Singhanatha. But if you haven't, then you think that Singhanatha arises in the space in front of you to help you bless or consecrate the water. So dissolving everything into emptiness, and your wisdom realizing emptiness, experiencing great bliss. And then if you're going to do the self-generation, you instantaneously arise as Singhanatha, or else in the front generation, Singhanatha arises. So the eight-petaled lotus, the moon disc, the syllable Kree, and then miraculously transforming into Singhanatha. And then to consecrate or bless. This is what my notes say, so we'll just go through really slowly. The right hand holds the vajra, the left the bell, and you recite the deity's mantra or the general consecration. So the general consecration is the same one as in the Nyungne, Om Pamatatri Hung Pe. And that's the action mantra of the hundreds of higher grievers emanating out from your heart, chasing away all of the interferers that dwell on the substances. I'll put that in the chat for now. Om Pema Tatri Hung Pe. The other mantra that you can say is the one that's in the Nyungne book. The first mention of it in the Nyungne book, it's the Long Dharani, and it's on page 85, the Namo Ratna Trayaya. And so while we're saying the mantra, visualize a clean, infinite vase adorned with precious ornaments and garments. So it might be nice, actually, if you have a bowl to wrap a kata around it. Last time, could I have a little kata from in the box over there? So to represent the beautiful garments. Even if you can't do the three little knots, which I can probably show you next time, at least to offer a kata, and you know, all white and beautiful and clean. Okay, so adorned with the precious ornaments and garments, filled with pure water. On top, a lotus, a moon disc, and a hri, and from this arises Singhanada. Sitting on it and facing you, thank you, really lively. So something really nice to offer the kata or the clothes. Okay, yes, so sitting on the top, looking at you, very much alive. And emanating infinite lights from his holy body, rainbow lights, just like with the crystal. Rainbow light colours filled with positive energy, emanating towards you and the entire 10 directions and all sentient beings. And if you have the vase, you have your mala draped on the spout. And I'm thinking if you have a bowl, maybe you have, it's like almost like you're catching it, you're hooking it there. So around the stem of the bowl, then you have your mala hooked on there. With the right hand holding the vajra, and then we recite the mantra. So let's recite the long mantra three times. So you'll probably be familiar with it if you've done your nays. Namo Ranna Trayaya, Namo Arya Jana Sagara, Berutana Buharatsaya, Tathagataya, Arahate Samyaksam Buddhaya, Namasava Tathagatapaya, Arahatapaya, Samyaksam Buddhape, Namo Arya Avalokiteshvara, Shoraya, Bodhisattvaya, Mahasattvaya, Mahakarunikaya, Tayeta om akate bikate nikate katam kate piriye swaha. Namo Ranna Trayaya, Namo Arya Jana Sagara, Beratana Buharatsaya, Tathagataya, Arahate Samyaksam Buddhaya, Namasava Tathagatabeya, Arahatebe, Samyaksam Buddhabe, Namo Arya Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattvaya, Mahasattvaya, Mahakarunikaya, Tayata om akate bikate nikate katam kate biriye swaha. Namo rana trayaya nama ayajana sagara beratsana boharatsaya etata gataya arate samyaksam buddhaya. Nama sava tata gata bea arahata bea samyaksam buddhabe. Nama arya avalokitesh shoraya bodhisattvaya mahasattvaya mahakarunikaya tayata om akate bikate nikate katam kate piriya swaha. And if the neighbors are okay, you can be ringing the bell. So that's the long mantra. And where it changes with the long dharani in the nyungnaes, so where it goes dara dara diri diri duru duru, that's where we put in this extra bit, the one for Avalokiteshvara Singhanada. And then I think if you like, then you can also recite the short mantra. Om Ahri Sanganara Humpe. And I think you can also recite the Om Pema Tatri Humpe for dispelling all the interferences. And then the Singhanada on the top of the vase melts into light and dissolves into the water. And because Singhanada is not like an ordinary person but an energy form, then the water transforms through the action of Singhanada's qualities to become purifying, clear, healing nectar. So don't worry, Rhonda, the mantras are coming. They're going to be in the transcript. So remember, Geshe-la did say that it's okay just to say the short mantra, that's all right. Om ha ahri Singhanada Humpe, that's fine. And so, you know, if you don't have a vase, then a beautiful crystal bowl, something like this. And then the simple way, just got to find my notes, of cleansing. So to refresh our visualization with the Singhanada in front and the, well, with a body made of light, white, seated on a red lotus. I think I have a picture here. Arising, of course, as before, from a Hri syllable. One face and two arms and three eyes. At his heart, a white Hri on a moon disc. Right hand resting on his knee in the mudra of granting supreme realizations. Leaning back on his left hand, resting behind him on the moon disc. Left leg extended in the posture of royal ease. So without any ornaments, as a dressed as a renunciate, we remember the stories why. Wearing a red lower robe also as a renunciate. Wearing a Brahmin cord with the hair in a top knot. With the deerskin over the left shoulder, the Krishnasara deer. So there seems to be various names for this deer, but it's the same one of the incredibly compassionate animal, said to be so gentle and loving with their young. So it's like an insignia. And then on his right side, a trident, green trident with a white snake entwined around it. And on the left, on a lotus, is a skull cup filled with sweetly smelling flowers that rain down from the devas. And on a white lotus blooming by his ear, a blazing sword of wisdom. And then the three places marked by the white Om, red R, and the blue Hum. And the white Kri on a moon disc at his heart. So with the mantra recitation, think that Avalokiteshvara Singhanada on your crown or from the front generation, incredible light and nectar flows down through your crown. And it touches your three chakras, the crown, the throat, and the heart. And as it does, it purifies all of the negativities that we've collected with our body, speech, and mind. So immense light rays and nectar radiating out in all directions, also reaching all the sentient beings surrounding you, including those that you specifically mentioned. So we'll recite the mantra out loud for a while, and then we'll go through the all of the things that the blissful light and nectar purifies. Om Ah Hri Singha Nara Hum Pe. 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 So the blissful nectar and light purifying all the harmful actions that you've committed with your body as it reaches your brow. All the harmful actions that you've created with your speech as it reaches your throat. All those harmful activities of the mind as it reaches your heart, the beams of light and nectar completely wash through and purify. Purifying all of the actions of the 10 non-virtuous actions and the tendencies of these harmful actions. the habitual tendencies. All the predispositions for physical disorders, for mental sufferings, for excessive emotional crisis or responses, trauma responses, shame, fear, guilt, attachment, anger, pride. And purifying all of the impact of all the past negativities arising from harmful intentions towards others. Maybe we've been harmed or betrayed and we responded with rage, disbelief, retaliation. So completely purified in this blissful nectar. And especially any negativities that we've accumulated in relation to non-human beings, such as nagas or spirits or the gods. Just like Singhanata had in his initial stages as a bodhisattva, a harmful attitude towards them, but was able to completely purify, so can we. Purifying all of the obstacles in relation to traveling, to accidents, to any harmful foods, side effects from drugs, poisons. And also purifying all of those things that we normally rely on, our worldly refuge and our worldly shelter, but being of a samsaric nature that rise up and harm us. So even though we have a house as shelter, due to our past karmic afflictions, we might die in an earthquake in our house or from a flood or a storm. We have a beautiful garden, but the tree collapses and kills us. We have knives or, in America, guns in the house, and we either then use them to suicide or to harm others, or others, robbers come in and harm us. Or all the elements that normally support life become a cause of the loss of our life due to our past karma of our karmic afflictions. Or even our nearest and dearest, husband or children, turn on you and kill you. So all of those types of obstacles, completely purified. And as we continue to recite the mantra, the Singhanata deity radiates immense light rays and nectar, and the blessings travel through the water. So one of the simple things that we can do with the water whilst reciting the mantra. So if you have a bowl, then it's a little tricky to pour, but if you've got a nice spoon or something, you can have some water from the bowl and put it in your palm. And using the finger of your right hand, the ring finger of your right hand, Tapping and flicking of each, at each chakra, the Om, the Ah, the Hum, whilst reciting the mantra, Om Ah Hri Singha Nada Hum Pe, Om Ah Hri Singha Nada Hum Pe. And I think Geshe-la did this wonderful thing, like a curve. Om Ah Hri Singha Nada Hum Pe, Om Ah Hri Singha Nada Hum Pe. And the knees and the back. And then he said, if there's like, you know, a touch where there's problems, then you can rub the water, like a little patch of water. So if your eyes, if you're losing your eyesight on the eyes, if you have skin disease or wherever there is an illness, then you can rub the water on that. And if you have mental difficulties, depression, or anger, then around the heart area. Or you can just touch the crown. I think that all the negativities and obstacles from sickness, spirits, epidemics, from curses, from the pollution of the elements, pollution of the negative attitudes, completely purified. So purifying self and others, purifying outer and inner. So the outer environment, the inner environment, especially any broken pledges or samaya, the pollution to the spiritual growth, and purifying all the signs of inauspiciousness, bad dreams, bad omens, anything that augurs failure, purifying untimely death, purifying the harm from the those who steal your life force, whatever obstacles, all completely purified. Om Ah Hri Singha Nada Hum Pe. Then the dedication prayer, so adding in at least a couple of dedication prayers from Lama Zopan Rinpoche, and also dedicating specifically, you know, for all the sentient beings, but then for anyone that you have that karmic connection with that you're praying for. So bring to mind those people now. And then thinking, due to the past, present and future merits collected by us and the merits of the three times collected by others, may the most precious wish-fulfilling thought of enlightenment, bodhicitta, be generated in our mind and in the minds of our family members and all sentient beings. And may that which has been generated increase. And due to all the past, present and future merits collected by us and by others, which do not exist from their own side, may the I, which does not exist from its own side, achieve full enlightenment, which does not exist from its own side, and lead sentient beings, which do not exist from their own side, to that state by ourselves alone, which does not exist from its own side. May we have the same qualities as Lama Tsongkhapa and benefit sentient beings equaling the limitless sky, like Lama Tsongkhapa, from this second on. And then the dedication prayers in the booklet. Oike wadiyoda lama sangye trokyone trowaichikyan malupa teyi Chan choi sim chorim poi she ma ke pa na ke kyo chi ke wa nyam pa me pa yam kon e kon jo pa wa sho. Due to the merits of these virtuous actions, may I quickly attain the state of a Guru Buddha and lead all living beings without exception into that enlightened state. May the supreme jewel bodhicitta that has not arisen arise and grow, and may that which has arisen not diminish but increase more and more. And the long life prayers for our holy gurus, for His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Ojite kandir pandemalupa kan le jongwe sampe yijin non kadre zome tenzin yatsola so wa de so tuje londro And for Lama Zopa Rinpoche. What to soi chan jin jam kya kya we te zin kya pe we kon zo do po zin cho son ko we le mon tu dro pa da so du che kon du shab ten jo. And for all of our holy gurus, including the wonderful Geshe Zopa. Wajetsun lame kutse rabten chin nam kai trin le cho cho ye pa dang lo san tempe tro me sa so em ki tro we musel ta to ne gyo chi. So thank you very much, everybody. I just wanted to recap because I don't think I did things quite in the right order. So as to not confuse things, because we're all just like running to catch up ourselves. When we're consecrating the vase, you do the instantaneous generation first. Either if you can as self-generation or the instantaneous arising of Singanatta in front to bless the vase or the bowl for you. And then to recite the Om Pema Tatri Humpe to dispel the interferences. So in the Nyungne, that's like one mala. So I didn't do that, sorry. So then when you've dispelled the interferences, then you bless the water, and that is with the long mantra 3 times and then the short mantra 21 times. And then Singanatta dissolves into the water. And then you can do all of the mantra recitation, and you can have some of the water in your palm and touch all of those places. That's the very simple way to do it. And then that water becomes like healing water. Okay, so then Rachel, the monthly calendar on the LT website says 2 p.m. That's a big typo. I thought I fixed it. I stuffed up with Sundays and Wednesdays. So it's Sundays at 2 and Wednesday at 7 and perhaps push refresh on your calendar, though it could have still slipped through the cracks. So I'll try and fix that up today so as not to cause any more confusion. Thanks for checking, Rachel. It is a typo. Okay, so do we need to recite the Singanada mantra while doing the consecration of the vase water? Yes, Delma, that's right. 3 long and 21 short. And then again with the visualization of the deity and the healing light rays purifying all sentient beings. Yes. So first you consecrate the vase water and then you use that vase water in conjunction with saying the mantra, because it's an activity. So what I had hoped to do today, even though I got all the order stuffed up, was to just do that really simple one of having the water in your palm and touching the places and flicking with the ring finger. Why does the lion have a red mane? I don't know. That was not answered. But maybe snow lions have different families. Also, because Singanada is from the Amitabha Buddha's family, the lotus family, so the red skirt and the red-pink lotus, and maybe red mane lion has to do with that. But I don't know. When do you do the flicking with the branch? Well, with the branch or with the vase, that's when you do those three activities. And so that's what we'll do next week, is the three action activities. So one is with the flicking with the stem that you can do with either the vase peacock feather or the stem of this one. Then the second one was the wiping, and so then you can use the leaves or the peacock feather and the kusha grass. And the third was the activity with the Vajra, and that was the protection wheel. So those three things, hopefully I've kind of got them into a bit of an order now with their action mantras, and perhaps we can incorporate that into the sadhana next week. We may go over a little bit again too. Any other questions that I can hope to help with? At least I thought, you know, because you may not have everything set up and you may not have a vase or anything like that, to at least what you can do is have a beautiful bowl and consecrate it. The Pema Tatri Humpe, dispel the interferences, then consecrate it with hooking the mala over it, the long mantra 3 times, the short 21 times, and then using that water. So that's the minimum that we can already start doing, and touching all the places. And then next week we can do those three activities. All right. And so if you have other questions, like even about the lion and things like that, then perhaps can you email me and I'll just collate these emails and send them off to Geshe Zopa, and maybe there, we don't know. Maybe it's not written down anywhere and it's just another of these oral traditions. Like I'm pretty sure a lot came from Geshe Zopa of the oral commentary. So that's right. The other thing that for a vase, what you can do and what we used to do before we got this one, which is the traditional vase, if you go to Chinatown, the little soy sauce bottles are pretty good. you can get little white soy sauce bottles. In fact, the little soy sauce bottles are downstairs, but they're about this big, and you can either get them white or sometimes with a little rice grain stuck into them, and they've got the requisites, which is a large belly, a skinny neck, and a lip overhanging the mouth. So they don't quite have this thing where you can hook your fingers underneath it, but they do have a lip where the stopper goes on, so it's, and they're quite easy to keep clean, so you could have your own vase, and then you'd find a nice branch like this and put that in the vase. So if you want to go shopping at Chinatown and get a vase for next week, give it a go. And yes, Thousand Arm practice on Wednesday nights and Singinata on Sundays. That's right. And I'm expecting we'll probably have that extra one at the end of the month, just because we'll run out of time again. So thank you very much, everybody.